Start making your own award-winning dishes today with Caroline's Rub at www.carolinesrub.com. Caroline's award-winning dry rubs, seasonings, and hickory smoked salt are all natural and perfect for beef, chicken, pork, seafood, vegetables, and more. Be sure to try our Aussie Steak Dry Rub today with its mouth-watering combination of slow-smoked peppers, spices, and herbs. You'll crave it on a whole lot more than just steaks. Visit our website today and order Maverick thermometers, gift sets, and get free recipes. All this and more from carolinesrub.com.
Hi, this is Larry Wolf of Wolf Rub Barbecue Seasonings, and you're listening to Barbecue Central.
Welcome to Barbecue Central, the show where we talk about all things important to the world of barbecue. From big-named interviews to advice on cooking brisket and ribs, you'll find it all right here inside Barbecue Central. If you're interested in learning more about barbecue, feel free to visit our website at www.bbq-4-u.com. Get connected to the best barbecue forum on the internet. And now, here's your program host, Greg Rempe.
Thank you, Jim Morgan, and welcome to Barbecue Central, the show where we talk about all things important in the world of barbecue. Wherever you are across the globe, I certainly appreciate you taking time out to join me. Today, I'm going to be talking with Tana Shoup, Manager of Guest Services and Events, the Jack Daniel's Barbecue Cook-Off. Jack is a handful of weeks away and is considered one of the most prestigious barbecue competitions to win. So let's bring Tana in so we can learn a little bit more about the Jack Daniel's competition. Tana, welcome to Barbecue Central.
Well, hello, Greg. Thank you so much for having us on.
Well, certainly my pleasure. Tana, could you tell listeners a little bit about yourself personally, and then we'll get into the Jack Daniel's?
I'm a native Tennessean and live in Tullahoma, work in Lynchburg, grew up in Nashville. See, I've worked for Jack Daniel's for a little over 25 years. I've actually been involved with the barbecue from day one, which was in 1989. This year will be our 19th annual competition. And I've been organizing it now for about the last 14 to 15 years.
How did you get involved with the Jack originally? How did you find out about it?
Well, actually, when the Jack started, I worked in our Nashville office. We have a small office in Nashville. I believe the brand was looking for something that was a bit of Americana. They wanted an event they could hold in Lynchburg just to try to, of course, have more people be aware of our little town here. And it just seemed that barbecue was the obvious tie-in, because everybody in America pretty much barbecues, and it's an all-American sport, and we're an all-American town.
Did you have an affinity to barbecue growing up, or were you attracted to that portion, or is this somehow just related because of the Jack Daniel's barbecue and how you got into it?
Well, I probably ate a little barbecue growing up, but it really wasn't a major part of my life. And like I say, I worked the first few barbecues and just kind of was on the fringes of it. And then one year they decided to move a lot of our brand team out of the Nashville office, but the responsibility stayed there, and because I'd worked on the barbecue, they asked me if I would be willing to become more involved in it. The first year, basically, we just tried to do everything as we had done before, because I really had no idea what I was doing. And then after the first year, I discovered there was a lot more to these competitions than I realized. And then I decided to get out and about, and I got my certifications as a Memphis and May judge, and then my certification as a Kansas City Barbecue Society judge, and have been pretty much, you know, involved in the barbecue community now for about the last 14 years.
For those of us that maybe don't know the history and the tradition of the Jack, is that something you can kind of fill us in about?
Our first contest was in 1989. We had, I think, 24 or 25 teams, 24 judges. We had a few little things for the children to do, grease pole climb, grease pig chases, and we had racing pigs. And basically that was it, a very small town, sort of a county fair type of an atmosphere. And I think we stayed that way for a couple of years. And again, like I say, once I became involved and I realized there was so much more to this, and I decided to get out and learn a bit more about this whole barbecue competition, sort of a phenomenon, It became obvious that we needed to grow because there are so many competitions out there. So one year, I think we added maybe six teams, and then on our 10th year, I suggested we invite 50 teams. We did, and we've never gone back. We've sort of grown along with the number of competitions that are out there. As you know, there are new competitions almost every weekend. There, new states are having competitions that have never had them before. And we literally have contests from Alaska to Florida and New York to California. So we're just trying to keep up with the times.
There always seems to be a lot of talk about how the teams are actually drawn for the Jack. Is that something you can give us a little bit of insider information about?
Yes. I think it's pretty interesting. Again, when we started this competition, it was basically first come, first serve. We got a list of teams from the Kansas City Barbecue Society that included all sanctioning associations, not just KCBS. We do include all sanctioning associations and even some contests that are not sanctioned just because of the mere size of them. But as far as the draw, again, when I started doing this, it was first come, first serve. And I might come into my office, and if we were going to have 24 teams, and we already had, say, 23 entry forms returned, well, when I came in that morning, if there were six on my desk, then who did I choose? Do I take whoever just happened to land on the top? Do I pick a team that I've heard of? I mean, we really, really wanted to be fair. So that's when I decided to ask the teams what they thought was fair. And they told me that they believed a draw would be the best way to do it. So the draw has definitely evolved over the years. At first, I think every team that won a qualifying competition, I put their name in the draw one time. So then the next year when I went out on the little barbecue circuit, team said, but Tana, I won four or five competitions. Should my name not be in there four or five times? That made sense to me also. So I think the next year we put however many times the team had won a contest, and that's how many names their team went in the draw. Then, of course, when I go out the next year, teams would say, well, you know, it doesn't seem fair because, let's say, for example, in the state of Texas, they might have 40 contests, whereas in the state of Maine, they may have one. And, of course, since this is a promotion for the brand, we want to have as many states represented as possible because we do sell in all of the states. So I tried to think of the best way to do this and finally decided that because there are numerous competitions in a lot of states, that first of all, we needed to have a state draw. Of course, actually, number one is we have four automatic returnees to the Jack, or four automatic teams coming to the Jack. The winner of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo competition is an automatic. The winner of the American Royal Open competition is an automatic. And the winner of the Memphis in May Grand Event is an automatic. And then, of course, we always invite our grand champion to come back and defend their title the next year.
What's the criteria for being entered into the Jack drawing?
Really, the criteria comes through the contest even more so than it does the teams. To be a qualifier, a contest has to have a minimum of 25 teams, and it has to be declared a state championship by the governor of the state in which that contest is held, or by a state official, maybe a state senator, whatever. Then we also have contests that have 50 or more teams. Those basically are automatic. They're not automatic qualifiers. They don't automatically get in, but they do qualify for the state draws. And those do not have to be sanctioned necessarily. Now, I will say that occasionally there are exceptions. An example would be a couple of years ago in Alaska, they had, I think, eight teams that were gathering for a competition. They had their proclamation from the governor, and in fact, the governor, I believe, was going to be on site to give away the awards. So I thought having, you know, eight teams at a contest in Alaska is pretty phenomenal, and we made that a qualifier, and actually that contest has grown over the last couple of years. So personally, I have to say one of my goals is to help promote these barbecue competitions, you know, not limit teams. It's just that we have to limit them because we are such a small town that we really don't have a lot of just physical area to put up all these teams. Plus, of course, they don't have to pay any kind of an entry fee when they win their way into the Jack. So it's a pretty big expense for the brand, but one that we think ties in well for the brand and the town.
Is the Jack Daniel's Cook-Off associated with, I mean, obviously you made mention to, you know, MIM certification, KCBS certification for judging, but is the Jack itself associated with any type of barbecue competition, or are you guys completely separate or independent?
We're really independent. We are not a sanctioned contest. Now, most of our rules are the same as the Kansas City Barbecue Society rules. They do come and help us. They bring their computer, and they help us run the contest. So it's run primarily the same way a KCBS contest would be run. Of course, you know, it's because it's blind judging. We don't have any kind of open judging at the contest, so at least not in our invitational.
Is there some point in time where you would consider partnering with the KCBS instead of just, you know, kind of doing it like they do but still remain independent?
No, I don't see any reason personally. I mean, I can't say this from a brand view, but personally, no, I don't see any reason to do any more than we're doing with them. We have an extremely close relationship with KCBS, and this contest would certainly not be the caliber contest it is without their support. But again, I think they also remain, they have good contacts with all of the other sanctioning associations. So I like to think that we really are a very well-rounded, but what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, a community that that contributes to each other, and we cooperate with each other. So for the Jack, no, I don't think there's a really good reason for us to be sanctioned by any association.
Are there any other categories that are included in the Jack other than the traditional four meats that the KCBS or the FBA would have?
Well, there are. We have so much fun here. On Friday, we have a separate contest that we call I Know Jack About Grilling, and that is sort of an Iron Chef type of a competition. We, on their entry forms, ask the teams if they are interested in being selected for the I Know Jack About Grilling. And again, you know, this year we're going to have 61 U.S. Grand Champions. We're going to have 60 U.S. Grand Champions, and we're going to have 21 international teams. So we try to mix that up, and we will select 7 of those teams to cook in the I Know Jack About Grilling. They indicate on their entry form that they are interested. And when we have our cooks meeting on Friday afternoon, immediately after that, we draw names, and the teams, those 7 teams, because we are the old number 7 brand, so we try to do a lot with the number 7 around here. So anyway, we select those 7 teams, and then they have to immediately, 2 members of their team, immediately go over to the site that we have set up for the I Know Jack About Grilling. And this year, that will be sponsored by Viking. So they're going to be bringing in some cookers, a couple of cookers for each team. And the winner of that contest will get, I think, it's called a Tailgater. And we're very excited to have them come on as a sponsor this year. But again, like I say, that's sort of an Iron Chef competition. The teams will go over to their site. They know they're probably going to get a bottle of our hometown product, of course. But in addition to that, they will have just mystery ingredients. Until they open their box, they have no idea what they'll be cooking. And they have about an hour and a half to 2 hours to cook a meat and a side dish and a dessert for 6 judges. And these judges are either master judges, they may be international judges. We haven't selected all of them for this year. But it's really a lot of fun. The teams have just really gotten into this. And we have bleachers set up, and you just, you know, you couldn't get a toothpick on the bleachers. There are so many people watching this contest. As far as ancillary contests on Saturday, we do start out with a sauce contest. And, of course, in that sauce, they must put a little bit of Jack Daniel's, just a little of our hometown product. Then after we have the sauce contest, we have 2 categories that we run simultaneously. One is called Cook's Choice, and that's for the U.S. teams. the category for the international teams we called Home Cooking from the Homeland. And in this category, the teams may cook whatever they want. It just can't be barbecued, like barbecued ribs or chicken or whatever they're going to, you know, enter into the compulsory categories. But they can really, they have a lot of fun with this. They get very, very elaborate. Garnish is open. This is really, this category is especially for the media. They like to come in and see what, you know, just how creative these teams have been and what they bring in. In fact, this year we're having to limit the size of the entries because last year we had 6-foot mirrors turned in with all kinds of elaborate displays on them and, gosh, things that were 2 and 3 feet high that had to be transported by a couple of people. So we're going to cut that back a little bit and make sure that at least these entries could be transportable by one person alone. And then after that, we go into, of course, the 4 meat categories. We do the chicken and the ribs and the pork and the brisket. And then, of course, we end with desserts, which is seems to be a favorite at a lot of contests. Again, our desserts is presented with open garnish, however they want to present it, as long as the origin of the dessert, and this is true in the other ancillary contests or any contest, as long as the origin of the entry is not known. For instance, we couldn't have a team from Switzerland, you know, come in and have something that looked like the Alps with a flag on top, you know. That might be easily recognizable. So, again, this is just an opportunity for the teams to get creative, and I think it really gives us an opportunity to make the Jack a real international type of contest because that's the type of thing, that's the way they do a lot of presentations. But to be our grand champion, the team has to have scored highest in the 4 primary meat categories. So in that regard, we are very similar to KCBS.
Now, how is the actual barbecue side of it scored? Do you adopt the KCBS scoring techniques, or do you use something else just specific to the Jack?
Well, on the 4 main meat categories, yes, we do use KCBS criteria. In fact, the day before our contest on Friday, we have a judging seminar, and not just we offer that for the judges that we have invited who may not be certified, and then of course if there's anyone else who wants to get their certification to be a judge, they're welcome to call and come to the judging seminar.
So you're using actual KCBS certified judges to judge the Jack Daniel's barbecue competition.
There are a few. Actually, again, I think the most important thing that I try to have people understand about this contest is that it is a promotion for the brand. And of course, Uncle Jack's footing the bill for this. So we invite a lot of media judges. We invite a lot of local media. We invite food writers from magazines, from newspapers. We have chefs come in who also judge. And yes, we do have experienced certified judges because we do want the teams to know that we're giving them the very, very best we can. And that's one of the reasons that I started having the judging seminar several years ago. So the teams would know that even though they may have a judge or they may get a judge who is not an experienced judge, at least they have been educated, and they understand how serious this competition is for the teams.
Now, correct me if my data is wrong here, but I believe it was in 2004, a team by the name of Mad Cow Barbecue kind of shook up the whole Jack Daniel's world by, of course, winning first the international division, but then, of course, they took the overall championship, too. First time an international team had won the overall competition. This whole controversy that ensued after that, what were your thoughts about what had transpired and things of that nature?
Okay, well, of course, we were really excited that Mad Cows from the UK won the Jack. Just again, this is a personal thought. I mean, I always felt that once an international team won the competition, then it truly would be considered a world event, you know, because we want all of these international teams that come to the Jack to understand that we want them to be able to compete at as high a level and with as good of equipment as they would compete at either in their own countries or any of the teams here. So, yeah, in fact, it was, I think that when we called the Mad Cow's name at that awards ceremony, for about 5 or 10 seconds, you could have heard a pin drop. Partly is because that people were trying to figure out who the Mad Cows were, because it certainly wasn't one of the teams that they'd heard about on the U.S. circuit. So they were, I think they were trying to remember exactly who they were. But then after that, I have to say, it just applause erupted and everyone stood and gave them a standing ovation, and we were very, very excited about that. So
ultimately, it was a few people on the internet making a lot of noise about how they thought, you know, Eddie was doing the cooking, or do you think it was more of a general consensus of a lot of the competitors there that there was some type of shoehorning or some type of illegal help going on?
Well, number one, I'm going to say that I think it's awesome that people care so much about this contest that they do question a lot that goes on. And I welcome their questions at any time, because, again, we do want to make sure we do everything above board and that everybody realizes that every single team has hopefully an equal chance when they get here. As far as that controversy, one of the things, again, that I did to try to help some of the international teams is I did assign individual ambassadors to be with them to help them throughout the event. And but one of the rules is they could not be hands-on. And I do believe that that was questioned, you know, by several people because, and I don't want to mention names, but since you brought up Eddie, he has one of the most phenomenal cooking rigs on the circuit. It is just wonderful. And, of course, it's very comfortable to go inside and be able to prep and cook in there. And, of course, as you know, just the whole scope of barbecue competitions has changed so much over the last few years that a lot of people do have RVs and are able to prepare sort of out of sight of the public and of the officials and everything. And I don't know that that's going to change and there's anything we can do about it. And, yes, there probably was some talk about that, but I just prefer to think that, you know, Mad Cows came here, they came one year early, they learned how to cook, they practiced every weekend, and they came back and they won the competition. And I just say, yahoo for them, and I hope they get to come back one day.
Were there any rules that changed because of what had precipitated during that 2004 year?
Well, what we do now, actually, because we have so many of our international teams who do return year after year, they really don't need individual ambassadors. So what we have is we do have a crew of people who will help them get all of their equipment, who will certainly show them photographs of entries if that's what they want to see. We do have an international team meeting on Thursday to bring them up to date, you know, with anything, to go over any rules with them. And then again, of course, they come to the cooks meeting on Friday, so they hear all of this again. So while we have people on site to help them, we don't feel they need individual ambassadors.
If it's possible to set your affiliation aside just for a few minutes, there's a number of barbecue competitions that take place during the course of the calendar year, and then there's that handful of ones that you would mention, and people's eyes kind of widen, and they seem to be the cream of the crop of barbecue competitions during the course of the year. The Jack being the one of them, obviously. Do you think, in your non-biased affiliated position, that the Jack is more difficult to win than the Best of the Best or the American Royal or, you know, any one of those top two or three events?
Well, I'm a very honest person, Greg, and I tell you that when you get to a large competition, all in all, I think it's a crapshoot. It depends on how the cook has done that day, how their meat's turned out. It depends on the tables that it gets to and the different judges. I just think, I mean, all the competitions that I've been to, personally, I wouldn't be a cook for anything, because I think they spend a lot of time, a lot of money, and when they go in there, there just are no guarantees. You know, as a judge, they know they're probably going to get a few really good products that day. As a team, you just don't have any guarantees. I don't think that ours is really any more difficult. Now, we like to think that I can't even say that we always have the cream of the crop, because we do have the state draws. There are a lot of teams that I know are incredible cooks, and they have been for years. And, you know, just because of the luck of the draw, they don't get to come to the Jack. So if they go to a competition, let's say, like the Invitational at the American Royal, well, I mean, they can go there if they want to, so they probably have more of the better cooks there, or they certainly have more of the grand champions than we have here. We just have to limit it because of our facilities here.
Have you ever thought about pitching the idea of grabbing maybe top 25 teams during the course of the year and adding another Jack Daniel's event that might be, you know, just specific to the best teams that calendar year?
Of course, personally, I thought about that. I mean, if I could come up with a way to come up with to really determine who the top 25 or the top 50 teams in the U.S. are, that would be an ideal way to be able to invite them. But then again, I always go back to this is a promotion for the brand, and we want to cover the country. So we feel like we're getting the very best teams in the different regions across the country. If you look at it that way, yes, we are getting the best teams, but, you know, we're not getting maybe the top 50 teams by any kind of a scoring system because there are so many associations. You know, you really can't cross the different associations because their scoring's different. I think the way they determine their teams of the year and things such as that is different. In fact, years ago, we did have the teams of the year in the draw. I just thought, you know, they're getting all those accolades from their associations as being team of the year. So we were just, you know, we try to have some pretty high criteria, very difficult guidelines to be able to get into the Jack.
When will the Jack be taking place this year?
This year it will be October the 27th, and of course there are a lot of festivities going on Friday also. So basically it's October 26th and 27th. 19th year, so next year is our 20th. No telling what you're going to see from this little town next year.
How can people find out more about the Jack Daniel's competition?
I'd say website, because that's such a heavily used, you know, vehicle for people these days. And we do get a lot of people who come to our Jack Daniel website. Last year we estimate we had between 25 to 30,000 people here. And now this is in a town with one traffic light, a two-lane highway, and I think our occupancy in Lynchburg is about, or the residency is about 500. So it's definitely quite a big day for this event, or for this town.
Tana Shoup is manager of guest services and events for the Jack Daniel's Barbecue Competition Cook-Off. Tana, I appreciate you taking time out this afternoon to talk to me about the history of the Jack and how things have evolved over time, and good luck in the future.
Well, thank you. We really do appreciate your interest, you know, in the contest, and we hope that you will come and be with us in October.
Thanks, Tana.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Tana Shoup for joining me this afternoon to talk about the Jack Daniel's. If you're interested in getting more information about that, you can visit their website at www.jackdaniels.com. Then click on the Happenings tab, look for the barbecue icon to appear, and go from there. If you enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to learn more about barbecue and grilling, why not join our website at www.thebbqcentral.com. We'd love to have you join the fun and camaraderie, the best barbecue forum on the internet. Stay tuned for the Carolines Rub Spot on the Backside Jones. For the Barbecue Central Show, it's your program host, Greg Rempe, saying,
leave Benny alone, please!
So long, everybody.
Start making your own award-winning dishes today with Caroline's Rub at www.carolinesrub.com. Caroline's award-winning dry rubs, seasonings, and hickory smoked salt are all natural and perfect for beef, chicken, pork, seafood, vegetables, and more. Be sure to try our Aussie Steak Dry Rub today with its mouth-watering combination of slow-smoked peppers, spices, and herbs. You'll crave it on a whole lot more than just steaks. Visit our website today and order Maverick thermometers, gift sets, and get free recipes. All this and more from carolinesrub.com.